Amen. Amen. Church, I want us to see the King tonight. Amen. Just as much as possible in our time and just lift up our King tonight. He is on the throne. And though sometimes as we look around this world, it does not look like it, you mark it down. He is on the throne. He knows exactly what's going on. And nothing is going to catch him off surprise. There's not a whoops in his vocabulary at all. Amen? And so we're going to look at just some things here. And again, I'm going to bring the thought from the church has been brought along now, sanctified along now. There's a separation. I'm not going to go back to the Song of Solomon just for the sake of time. But as he separates now, we find a lot of truths, and I'll pick up a few of them in the New Testament here. And so we're going to look at just two headings here tonight with the Lord's help here. The power of the gospel and the person of the gospel. Most of the time is going to be right here in the power of the gospel. Again, let me just read this here because I want you to know that there's no other message in the entire world that can change the soul of man like the gospel. Nothing whatsoever. I started to open up to Psalm 64 that you read here tonight. Boy, it fit just right in. I told Myrna I'd like to look at that and read that, but there's no other message, no other message can change a life, can free a soul from the sinful bondage of sin, their sins, and all of that change for all of eternity. Can I tell you, church, what a message for the church to proclaim. That's what we are here for, is to proclaim the gospel. That's what Sunday school is all about. That's what all this setup is all about. That's what all of the church of Bible Way Baptist Church and my church, Heritage Baptist Church, that's what we do in the prisons, and that's what we do overseas. That's what we do through our missions and all around, is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other message. That's what the church, that's what the world needs today. That's what America needs today. America, we can look at Washington and all of that, but we better look at the church and our soul winning programs to get the job done. Amen? And that's what we try to do in the prisons as well. So the power of the gospel. So I'm going to take the thought here from this verse here. Notice the Lord in verse 1, he's in heaven now, sitting on the right hand of God. By the way, let me just say, Psalm 110 is quoted more in the New Testament than any psalm altogether in the Old Testament. 14 times they're direct quotations. Hebrews alone in verse 4 is quoted, I think about 7 times, maybe 9 times, but then indirectly about sitting on the throne. So Psalm 110 is quoted and referred to more in the New Testament than all the other psalms put together. Amen? So it's a very important psalm here. So we see in verse 1 that Christ is sitting on the throne, the right hand of God the Father. Notice in verse 2, he says, "The Lord Jehovah shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion." I'm going to look at that phrase right there first of all, and that's going to be the symbol of this gospel power. The symbol of this gospel power. Brother Vinoy's been with me a lot, and I like to look up words and follow words and find out where they're first used and first mentioned and all of that. And so I just took a few of the verses here. You don't have to turn there. They're very familiar. I'll read them all to you unless you want to turn there. But I want to look at, we're looking at the power of the gospel. The symbol of this power, this gospel power. The Lord shall send the rod, notice that, the rod of thy strength out of Zion. I took that word rod and found three interesting. There was more, but I just put three of them down here. If you want to turn, that's fine. Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 12 says this. We're looking at the rod. We're looking at the symbol of the gospel power. I'm going to show you what this rod is going to do. Amen? That's our message. That rod is still doing that, and I'll show you that in a second here. So Exodus chapter 7, verse 10 says this, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod," the exact same word found in Psalm 110. "And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men of the and the sorcerers, and now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but," watch this, "but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now notice that. What are you talking about? I'm talking about this rod is seen swallowing up the curse of man. That's exactly what's represented here. It's a picture of this rod swallowing up the curse brought in by Satan. In fact, Brother Vinoy, I was about to preach that this morning when Brother Vinoy was in John 3:16, reading John chapter 3 there. Nicodemus, why all of a sudden, in fact, you ought to do a study about that. I'm getting off a little here, but you ought to do a study. Sometimes you're going along and all of a sudden the Lord took Nicodemus all the way back to Numbers 21. The serpent on the brass there held up. Why? Because Nicodemus was a righteous man. Nicodemus could not see himself being born again. He didn't understand. He was looking at the physical, but the Lord was talking about the spiritual. But Nicodemus knew the Old Testament. He just didn't know the connection. So the Lord took him all the way back there to see the serpent there, to see that there was a curse, to see that there was murmuring, to see that they needed to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what Nicodemus needed. I believe that was the truth that freed Nicodemus. I've taken about five of those truths from the New Testament where they have all of a sudden an Old Testament truth there that unlocks all of that. And I did a little series there in that. Here's some of the other ones too. Can I tell you, this is always the case here. The Old Testament is here, but the New Testament truth is going to unlock what's all the way back there. Amen? We see the gospel here in Psalm 110. We see the picture here of this rod swallowing up the curse brought in by Satan. The curse of sin being swallowed up by Christ, the rod, as He became a curse for sinners. That's exactly what's going on here. So follow me along. I'm going someplace with this. So this rod is seen swallowing up the curse of man. How about the rod is also seen when it smote the rock in Exodus chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, same exact word, wherein thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt, notice this, smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that thy people, the people, may drink. And Moses did so. Notice that. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now here we have the rod once again being used to smite the rock there. From the smitten rock came forth water to save thirsty souls. Moses the lawgiver, get this now, Moses the lawgiver smote the rock Christ for guilty sinners. Again, that's the truth in the New Testament there. The law smote Christ for our sins. Amen? And so we see here the rod also being used, and you're going to get this in a second, being used to smite the rock there so that thirsty sinners can come and enjoy the refreshing of the gospel. Amen? And then the third one here, just quickly, and I'll tie them together. There's about two other ones, but for the sake of time, we're just going to mention these. The rod is also seen in Numbers chapter 17, verse 8. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod, same word, of Aaron for the house of Levi. Remember that they all rebelled against it and wanted to be in their places and everything. And the Lord said, okay, each one take a rod, and here's Aaron's rod. And then the next day they go in there. But something happened to Aaron's rod for the house of Levi. This one was budded and brought forth buds and blossom and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. So we see, first of all, listen to me, I'm bringing it all together. We see, first of all, that Christ was cursed. We see Christ was smitten, who was smitten. And now we see Christ resurrected from the dead. You'll find that same truth in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now notice this, Christ, who was raised from the dead. That dead stick is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive to bring forth life to sinners. So you notice that there's found buds and blossoms and almonds and fruit. Can I tell you, the rod is truly the symbol of the power of God. The Christ, our ruling King, has a rod, or it could be a staff or the scepter, sending out the power to save. He's the one The gospel is what we have. Church, I'm telling you, He's the message, the rod that has been sent out. He's the one that we send out, the gospel that goes out, that has taken our curse, that's been smitten, the one that takes a dead sinner like you and I, dead in trespasses and sins, and brings life back to us, and blossoms back to us, and that fragrance that we've seen in Song of Solomon again, and all the aroma. Can I tell you, today what you're looking at is not a dead sinner, but you see somebody that the gospel has come to, and empowered and brought back life again. That's our message. That's our hope. This power here, the sending out the power to save. Can I tell you, and I'll just give you these. Can I tell you it's an arresting power? Can I tell you that on May 3rd, 1987, when Vern and I bowed our hearts and ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ there, we didn't know anything. We were 33 years old. Never heard of John 3:16. Been on the streets for about 5 years shooting dope and walked away from Myrna and our two boys at that time. Can I tell you that day, May 3rd, 1987, we've been going to church about 4 months. And really it was the people that was the attraction here. I never seen people like that. They had a joy. We moved from San Diego to Pennsylvania. Didn't know anybody. Nobody knew us. I'd never been there before in our entire lives. The Lord took us from San Diego, away from all of that, to bring us together so that we could learn to trust each other again. So we had to depend on one another. We had nobody to run to. It was just us. But when we walked in that family just across the door, the street from a Christian family, invited us to church, and when we walked in there, those people had a countenance. They had a realness about them, a joy about them. And can I tell you, it was about 4 months. In fact, Myrna and I talk about it. Now we laugh about it, but I said, you know, I don't get it. I was saved under a very stern pastor, and that's what I needed at that time. I needed somebody that was stern. It was King James and soul winning, bus routes and serving God and all of that. We went into a good church. Thank the Lord for that. But I remember saying, I said, honey, it seems like they just come to church and just get yelled at and pass a bunch of money around. And then they come back and do it all over again. But they had a joy about them. What are you saying, Brother Napper? I'm saying there was an arresting power. God arrested my attention through that and brought me down to that altar in 4 months and knew how to say a word to me. He knew exactly what I needed at that time. It's an arresting power. It's a convincing power. It's a life-giving power. Can I tell you? It's a liberating power. There's nothing like the message of the gospel. Oh, I'd like to spend the time, Brother Fenoy says, on each one of those. But I purposely didn't put anything under that, under each one of those there. But oh, can I tell you, the gospel is what is needed today. This rod that is sent out, it's the gospel. It's a picture of the gospel. It's the only one, the only message that can take the curse. It's the only message that can smite the rod and free us. Can I tell you, I'm not guilty today. I've been justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Life has been brought into me and new desires and new loves. I tell the men in prison all the time, before I was saved, I wouldn't have walked across the street for any of them in that building. I wouldn't have done it for you in this church either. Unless I tell the men in prison, unless they had something that I wanted. But as soon as I got it, they were gone. The only one I was looking out for was Roger Napper. Didn't care about my parents. Didn't care about my wife and two boys. Didn't care about anything. Just give me enough dope to go another day. Amen. But the gospel changed all that. It changed my life. How can you explain 33 years of no church and 33 years of going my own way and all of the drugs and all of the drink, all the corral, all that stuff. And in one day, May 3rd, 1987, and now for 27 years, I've never gone that way. I've never been back to drugs. I've never been on the streets. I've never been out of the church. I've never been out of the Word of God. How can you explain that except the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The power of the gospel, it's freed me, it's convincing, it's life-giving, it's liberating. That's our King, that's our message, that's the King is sitting there. I'll get to this point here in a second. But that's the power, that's the gospel that we preach. That's why I can go to any prison. I don't care if it's a maximum, I don't care if it's male or female. I don't care if it's juvenile. I don't care what how bad they are or how bad they seem to be. It's not intimidated one bit. Why? Because I know the gospel is able to change anybody in that prison. The power of the gospel. Amen. So we see the symbol there of the rod. Notice, and I had to look up this word, so it's the word is simple, it's sign, S-I-G-N, but I had to look it up because here it's used as a verb. And I didn't want to get kind of technical here, but it's a verb here. The sign, not only the symbol of the gospel power, but the sign of this gospel power. Here the word sign is used as a verb. In other words, it means the word sign used in a verb, it means to assign legally. It means to transfer to another. In other words, this power of the gospel has been assigned or has been transferred to the church. Can I tell you, folks, it's not our power, but comes from our ruling King. It's His power. It's His message. I looked at some things. Hold your place there and look at quickly at Matthew 28. I'm trying to go through this quickly. There's a lot more, but Matthew 28, you know these verses. I'll give you another one here in a second. Matthew 28. Should have marked my Bible. Look at verse 18. He said, then Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, notice this, all power, there He is at the right hand of God the Father. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So you see, all power is given unto me. Look with me at Acts chapter 2. I'll show you the word here. Acts chapter 2. Again, very familiar. 2:33. Here's Peter and the other apostles preaching on the day of Pentecost and the power of God, the Holy Ghost fallen there. And verse 33 says, just for the sake of time, therefore being by the right hand, there it is again. Here's one of the quotes in the New Testament of Psalm 110. Therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this, which He says, which ye now see and hear. What were they seeing and hearing? They were seeing the gospel. They were seeing the Holy Spirit of God come upon them and move upon them. Here's my point here, the sign of this gospel power. You say, Brother Knapper, how do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven? How do you know that He's ruling? How do you know that He's reigning? How do you know that your sins have been atoned for? Because what you're looking at is the evidence of the Holy Spirit of God that has been sent down from Him. I'm proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. You can't explain it. I'm looking out here today and miracles are sitting before me right now because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know He's in heaven? Because we see evidence of the truth of the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Amen. That power that has been transferred, that power has been transferred to the church here. That gives us the authority. I was just recently at Houtsdale there talking to the men, and that Darrell came up to me and said, Brother Knapper, you know, when you guys come in, and he's the one that showed me all the outlines of Brother Vinoy and I for years and years, probably 5 or 6 years there. He said, Brother Knapper, he said, I'm always, it seemed like I go and I plateau off spiritually. And we haven't been in that prison for about a year and a half because of Chaplain Henry's gone, and then Chaplain Miller came up and the transfer training and all that. So he said, it seems like I've just been plateaued off. But he said, every time you guys come, man, it seems like you just bring me up to another notch spiritually. And he said, Brother Knapper, he said, I can't explain it, but, and I showed him back to this verse here, and I said, sir, I said, Darrell, you don't have to explain it. It is not us. It's the power of the gospel. It's how we've come and preached the word of God. Folks, we don't come with my ideas or my philosophy or what I think or what I say or what I believe. Now, if you want to debate some things, we can look at some things, but it's really not up to me. It's thus saith the word, the Lord. It's His power that's been given to us. The authority, and I told Darrell, I said, I don't stand behind a pulpit in my power. What gives me, I've tried to give Bob Leach the same advice. What gives us the boldness? I honestly don't like to be up front. It doesn't look like it, I guess, at times, but I really don't. I'd rather be in the back just being a help. But what gives you the boldness? What gives you the authority of the Word of God? The call on my life gives me the authority. I know it's the gospel that does that. It's the gospel that takes Daryl. It's the Word of God, the power that has been entrusted to the church that takes those individuals to another level, that takes that sinner up and brings them into the family of God. Church, can I tell you, the gospel is what's needed. The gospel. Our King is on the throne. He's ruling. He sent down the Holy Spirit of God. The symbol of the rod. The gospel is still conquering. The gospel is still being sent forth. The sign of this gospel power has been given to the church. Notice with me, and I'm trying to hurry. Psalm 110, verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Notice this. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Notice that this rod subdues and conquers the heart of men. Now, it's not like some religions that go out there today and blow themselves up and kill a bunch of people or try to convert people by a barrel of a gun or a sword. Oh, no, no, no. This rod subdues and conquers the heart of men. How does this king today rule? I'll tell you how. By planting his church among the enemies. By planting his church among his enemies here. King Jesus is conquering this world through the church. Amen. Got quiet on that one. But that's how he's doing it. We are his messengers planted exactly where needed. Can I tell you, Bible Way Baptist Church isn't just here by accident? Brother Ralph told me about some of the things today and how Dr. Long helped some things along. And we look at that humanly speaking, but it wasn't Dr. Long. It's not Rick Vinoy. It's not others. God needed a witness at this place. God needed a testimony, a lighthouse. God planted it. Let me give you, you don't have to turn there. But in Revelation 2, 12 and 13 says this, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Aptabus, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, listen, where Satan dwelleth." If you go back and do any history at all in the book of Acts, you can look at Corinth, and you can look at even in Acts 17, Athens, and you can look at Ephesians and some of those. They were all wicked cities. They were really, really bad. The prostitution, the temple prostitution, and all the false gods, and all of that. How did God conquer those cities? I'll tell you why. He planted a church there and then empowered the church there. And then as they went out, they subdued those enemies. Can I tell you one time I was an enemy of God? Oh, I didn't know it. How did God come about? Did he slay me? Oh, spiritually speaking. But what he did is he wooed me in his love. The Holy Spirit of God blew upon me. Showed me through those people what I was missing. Broke my heart how they lived. I'd never seen anything like that coming off the streets. We never had families like that. I remember Myrna and I, we used to take some of the bus kids to our house after that, and little Henry and some of those. But I remember one of them, Henry was funny. We brought him to our house, but just bus kids out of the projects. And oh my, but we would sit down, Brother Vinoy, and have dinner, just a simple thing. And they would just sit there and look at you. I mean, like, I said, "Henry, what's wrong?" "We'd never seen this before. A meal. A family praying together." He ran all through the house, and he disappeared there for a while. And I told Myrna, "We better go find Henry." And he was all upstairs. And I mean, he had taken a screen out of a window. We lived up on overlooking the river at the time. And he was spitting down out the window. And just, he was amazed. He called his mom. He didn't want to leave. Never seen anything like that before. Where did all that come from? How did that happen? I'll tell you what, the gospel entered into our lives. The gospel came into our family and changed it. That's what the world needs. And I tell you, I found out later that one of Henry's sisters hung herself on her bunk bed in the projects. She was being abused sexually, 12 or 13 years old. Can I tell you, I came across the man that did it in prison one time. He tried to avoid me. Wasn't sure who he was at first, but I did recognize him. Folks, I'm just saying, this gospel conquers his enemies through the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Can I just tell you, tomorrow, love on those kids. I remember one of the, Myrna and I ran bus routes for a long time in our church. I'm trying to hurry. I might not get through all of it, but. And I had one of the men in our church. He didn't mean any harm by it, but he was kind of sharp at one of the kids. And I called him off to the side and I said, "Sir, instead of chiding him, I said, you'd get a lot further with him if you'd just take him out of church right now, take him down and buy him ice cream cone. I said, sir, if you'll follow me around on a Saturday and see where they live, you just need to thank God that they're here in church, hearing truth and seeing people loved on them. I'm not trying to be ugly, but Myrna and I have walked through houses with trash 3 feet high. I remember one of them. I don't know why I'm stuck here, Brother Vanoy. I guess it's Sunday school or Bible study. I remember one of them. I was asked to preach at First Baptist Church where we were saved. And there was a young man in an army suit, probably 22, 23 years old. He came up to me when I was done and he said, "Brother Napper," he said, "you don't recognize me, do you?" And I said, "No, sir, I really don't." And he said, "I'm Nicky Wood." He was one of the little kids that was coming out of the trash that was that deep. He said, "I'm Nicky Wood." He said, "I just want to thank you." His mom and dad were drunks. I remember running down through the bars trying to get him out of the bars. And they were living with his grandparents, and when they died, they had nothing. He said, "Brother Napper, I'm married. I'm in the military and I'm in church." He said, "I just want to thank you for investing your time in us." Church, can I tell you, it's not in vain. If you just make a difference in one child, one Nicky Wood, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. We don't need to chide them. We need to love on them. Make a difference. Let them see. I wonder where Myrna and I would be at today if we didn't have that church, First Baptist Church, come and love on us. Never seen us before in their lives. Never. We didn't know how to dress. We came indifferent sometimes, and they never said anything. They just—I'm just thinking in their mind. They probably said they'll get it one day, and we did. Thank the Lord. Didn't know the voice of the Holy Spirit a lot of those early days. I still had a lot of anger from being shot, lost my leg, and a lot of things. But those people loved us. That family that invited us to church—he was military, and he'd left years and years. We didn't see him probably over 10 years. He didn't know that I was in the ministry now. First People's Baptist Church in Virginia they were without a pastor. I was on deputation. I was preaching that night in another church. That church contacted People's Baptist, or People's Baptist contacted that church and said it was Easter Sunday. So we heard that you have a missionary coming in. We're without a pastor. You think the missionary can do our Easter Sunday for us? So they called me, and I said I'd love to. It was Dennis's church, the family that invited Myrna and I to church. Lost track of all that when I walked in there. Here I'm the preacher. It was just an invitation. Boy, we got to shouting, we got to crying and weeping and all of that. What were you saying, Brother Napper? I'm saying that this rod, the gospel that goes forth, it rules out in the midst of thy enemies. He conquers through love. He conquers through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, wooing and convicting and convincing. Remember that arresting power, that convincing power. All of that, that's what he's talking about here. Hey, how does he overcome? By planting you and I where he needs us. That's why you need to see where you are in your job. That's why you need to have a testimony wherever you are. Because you don't know what influence you're having on somebody that's watching you. The secret, I'll move. The secret of the gospel power. Look at verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We'll look at that first phrase first here, and I'm just about done. I probably won't get to the person here. We'll look at this. We'll wrap it up real quick. The secret of the gospel power shall be willing. Thy people, notice that, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Can I tell you, God, through the Holy Spirit, creates a willingness to come to Christ. A willingness to believe the gospel. A willingness to repent from their ways to the ways of Christ. a willingness to surrender to Christ. Can I tell you, no sinner is forced to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit woos in love and conquers the sinner's heart. Sinners are drawn to the love of God. That's what God was doing to Myrna and I as we came and saw First Baptist Church and the people there. And yes, it was the preaching after a while, but the wooing part, the thing that smote my heart was the love that the people had. They were different than all others. That's the secret of the gospel. And then what I say, I'll skip some of this, but the suitableness of the gospel power. Look with me at verse 3 at the end of that. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. That's the Song of Solomon. That's why he invests so much in us. That's why we are the attraction there. We come from nothing, no beauty in us at all. But he nurtures us and brings us along in fellowship with him. Brings us into that garden, the fragrance, the spices. Go back and read Song of Solomon. It only 8 chapters there. It'll take you, there's about 116 verses. It'll only take 20, 25 minutes there. But look, there's a lot of language there, poetic language there. But look at her as she's drawn away, drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ there. The suitableness there, the beauties of holiness, that's speaking of the church. Everything that we have, as I said this morning, is all derived from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see anything at all in Roger Napper, it's because of him. It's all because of him. I remember one time, I may have shared this with Brother Benoit, one time, I'm not at my home church a whole lot. It was a Wednesday night, and there was a man sitting in the back by himself. I had never seen him. But at prayer time, we break up. And so I seen that he was alone, and I came walking behind him and just kneeled down next to him. And I said, "Sir, can I pray with you?" And he said this immediately. He said, "You wouldn't understand anything I'm going through." I mean, it was pretty sharp. We were whispering. But I mean, it was just like, you wouldn't know anything. You wouldn't understand anything I'm going through. And I said, "Sir, well, what's some things you're going through?" And he said, "Well," he said, I just found out I have hepatitis C. He said, "I'm starting to go through treatments, and because of that, my wife has left me. Been in drugs off and on, and now the separation and all of that." And I said, "Sir," I said, "you don't know me, do you?" And he said, "I know who you are. You preach to our church all the time in prisons." And I said, "Well, let me tell you, now we're just whispering, amen, whispering." And I said, "Sir," I said, "you see me limping, I have one leg, I've been shot when I was 21 years old. I turned into a drunk and drugs and all of that. I said, I just finished up a couple years ago the interferon treatments for hepatitis C when I was shooting heroin all those 5 years on the streets. I walked away from Myrna and my two kids, my two boys, for over 5 years shooting dope," and he's going like this. Now, I'm the one surprising him, and he's looking at me. And he said, "I'd have never known." And I said, "Sir," I said, "because what you're looking at right now at that time was 20-some years with the Lord." I said, "Sir, you should have seen 33 years with the devil. You see, what you're looking at is the gospel. What you're looking at is the transformation that we sang about. What you're looking at," and he just looked, and he said, "I'd have never known." And I said, "Sir, that's because what you're looking at is what the gospel can do. That's what you need, sir. You need to come to the Lord. You need this same suitableness. God has changed us and God has transformed us. Why? So that we can be effective for Him. All derived from Christ." That phrase there, "from the womb of the morning," it's speaking of our new birth. The moment that you and I are saved and the Lord Jesus Christ begins to transform us, begins to make us holy and separate from the world so that we can be effective. And then that little phrase there, "thou," that's speaking of Christ, "thou." Christ is fresh and vibrant, never losing his strength. When it says "thou," that's a different change there after that colon there. But "thou hast the dew of thy youth." It's speaking of Christ as fresh and vibrant, never losing his strength. In other words, this phrase right here is teaching us that in Christ the church has all that she needs to serve. We can go to Christ every day and receive new blessings, new strength and new power. We can go every moment. We can go from one prison to another prison and still come and ask God. The whole church here, Bible Way Baptist Church, can go to the Lord Jesus Christ all at one time, and you would not take from his power one iota. He's fresh every moment. The whole world could look at him in one moment for the power of the gospel and not take away or diminish his power one bit. He's all powerful. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world. So that's what it's teaching here, the suitableness of the gospel. So that's the power of the gospel. I'll just give you this. From 5, 6, and 7, we see the person of the gospel. Can I tell you our exalted King is here? And under our exalted King, can I tell you, He is a victorious King. Look at verse 1 again. The Lord said unto my Lord, that's the Lord. David is writing this, said unto my Lord, that's my Adonijah. Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, has said unto my Master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Can I tell you, the place is in heaven for our victorious King. The position at the right hand of the Lord. The promise is all of Psalm 110. This whole psalm has and will be fulfilled. That's why we see here in verse 5, the Lord at the right hand shall strike through the king, through kings in his day. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places of dead. He shall. Can I tell you, it's already done, folks. We're on the winning side. Our King has never lost a battle, and He's never going to. He's victorious. He's victorious. The place, the position, the promise. Not only is He a victorious King, He's a reigning King. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And can I tell you also, Jesus is our ruling King. Rule thou is the promise of God. He's not worried about it, folks. Let Russia and all of those surrounding Israel and come against them. You mark it down. God knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on. That's our exalted King. And then just quickly, our returning King. We've already read the verses, not read through them again. Here's some of the words. Shall strike through kings. It means here's the sense. It means of dashing, the sense of dashing in pieces. It means smiting or wounding or crushing. That shall judge among the nations, shall rule over the nations of the earth. Shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall make a great slaughter. It means it's an indicative truth of conquest. He's coming to rule, folks. He's coming to reign. He's coming in victory against those. He's either going to conquer you through the wooing power of the Holy Spirit, but those that reject Him, you mark it down, He's still going to come and conquer them. But that time He's coming with a sword, and that time He's coming to conquer. Amen? But He is going to conquer. Over many countries means overall. And then this little phrase here, shall drink of the brook in the way. It's very interesting. The Messiah, as our victorious King and conquering, pursuing His enemies, it means, it has a little phrase here, takes time for a drink. In other words, He's not even getting a sweat when He comes this time. He's not going to be worried one bit. He's not going to have strategy. Well, you get over here, this general over here, and you over here. Oh, no. No. He's not worried about it one bit. That sharp sword coming out of His mouth is going to be a spoken word. And it'll be over. Amen? Shall lift up His head. Therefore shall He triumph. Or the word can mean be successful. Folks, I just wanted to show you our King tonight. Amen? Wanted to take you to our King. Take you to our King. That's the gospel that we take. That's why it's so powerful. Because it comes from Him. Everything that we have. Not only our beauty, but our call. Church, Bible Way Baptist Church, be confident in the gospel. It'll never fail. It'll never fail. You say, Brother Napper, oh, you don't know what they've done. Oh, you don't know how big my God is. Amen. Our God is on the throne. He's called us. He's brought the bride all the way through the Song of Solomon. He's gone to heaven. Now she's waiting, but He's empowered her to take care of the vineyard in His absence, conquering and wooing through the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Vinoy, you come, close as you would. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we love you tonight. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being our King. Thank you for reigning and thank you for representing us. There's a man in heaven that has called our names out today. He's intervened on our behalf. And then that king, our king, is also going to return one day. But until then, may we be found faithful to serve him. Occupy till I come. Father, I pray for this week. God, please, I pray for these children, their families. They need the Lord. And Father, I pray as the gospel goes forth, even now with the Holy Spirit of God, begin to woo, begin to conquer those hearts of the little children and their families as well. And oh God, may we hear a great report. And then God, as we go off to Massachusetts, in the federal prison, even now, God, would you begin to prepare hearts for what you have for us. God, rule and reign in the hearts of those men as well. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.